Dumelang Thabela, hello and welcome to your first week's news wrap-up of 2025, guys. Ngwagomoswa to all and everyone, and we're going to keep saying ngwagomoswa until June, mind you. So proudly brought to you by the SL Cabinet, guys. I'm your host, Gwena Mashale, and as always, I'm joined by my amazing colleagues, Nandintini and Herman Moloi. Guys, please say hello.
Hi.
So guys, a new year, but this is still the same mission. We're the youth of today, bringing you the latest news, the hottest debates, and those bizarre headlines that would make you go, wait, what is going on? So let's grab a seat, stay locked in, and let's dive right into the biggest stories of this week. So guys, I think let's not lie, ne? This week has been intense the social media. Everywhere has been intense. And it's all because of the South African Defense Force. And I gotta say, for the first time, I must say that South Africans are very patriotic, eh? I'm noticing it very much. Like, you would think they're patriotic in rugby, ne? But now, with the whole idea of, you know, the soldiers and how they're dying, like, well, no. But soldiers do die. But you know how they're dying is like coming to reality with them. And they're like, hi, man. Hi, guys. We can't be doing this, man. I even saw people were like, no, guys. Ka February 13th, the boys are like, we're not staying.
But you guys are going to DRC
to help the team. Yeah. And coming back in the, on the February 16th. What's going on, Herman?
We are going to help. Our president cannot be called a liar. And on the 13th, we are going. We can have our president being called a liar and we sit back and watch.
Yeah, guys.
We're going to go 13, 14, 15, maybe 16. We're not sure. We'll see. It depends, you know.
But I must say, hey, this whole thing of our president being called a liar is so funny, guys. Let's give a bit of a background, guys. So obviously with what's been going on in the DRC, guys, the fight in DRC is not a new thing. It is not a new thing. It's been going on for years. Mm-hmm. Our soldiers have been deployed to the DRC for years now. It's not new. Let's get that straight. Secondly, guys, now, so in between of this whole conflict, obviously with Wu Engimotseka coming in from other departments, and now she's now the head of the defense. Yeah. There are a lot of people calling for her judgment in these type of situations. You know, that whole, is she qualified to be a defense? She doesn't even know what she's talking about. But let's stick to the facts and let's leave Angie alone, guys, for now. But so what happened is that, let me put it like this. Angie basically said, when she was giving a briefing and she was explaining what the 13 soldiers who died and how they died happened, is that the last three group of soldiers who died were caught in a crossfire between the DRC soldiers as well as the I like to call them the M23, but some people like to call them M3s, M23 soldiers.
It's M22.
It is M23. M23. I'm saying some people, I'm mentioning my editor, he likes to call them M3s. That's how he remembers them. So he says that Angie says that no, the reason they were caught in a crossfire, and so they had to talk to the M23 to tell them that they are there as peacekeepers. They are not part of the war. And that's where the whole video of the white flag came about. And people were like, no, they're surrendering. So they had to come out and on some, no, guys, we are not surrendering the defense force. Angie says that was not a surrender. It was a standard wartime tactic just to symbolize a truce, which other people would argue is another word for surrendering. But let's not go into the details. But basically, she went on to say that also what happened is that when you're shooting at peacekeepers, it's a sign of a potential war. It's a sign of a potential war crime. And she says that this is what Ramaphosa also says, right? So the Rwandan president heard all of this and was like, you guys are lying. That's not the conversation I had with Ramaphosa literally days ago. So let's take a listen to what he says there.
For the last 2 days, on Monday and today this morning, I spoke with the president of South Africa, who sought me out to speak with me on this matter because of their involvement in Eastern Congo. And he's also there pretending to be playing a peacemaker role. And he has a force that has been fighting alongside FDLR and has been fighting the M23 on the instructions of Tshisekedi, because these are people who are not supposed to be in Congo, that these are from Rwanda, or the M23 are not Rwandans, please. These are Congolese, and one time he accepts it, then another time he says no, part of it is yes, and then the other part is from Rwanda, and these are the. He keeps on going. And how do we, leaders of our own countries, accept this to go on forever and just accept that we shall be manipulated by Tshisekedi or whoever is supporting him? And South Africa dares even issue threats about what is likely to happen after that, and so on and so forth. Of course, we will see what threats they are talking about. Maybe they should have done that exactly for which they have been issuing threats. They should have done it to clean up the mess in eastern Congo, or to fight back those who have been trying to clean up the mess. So then you have the whole international community just confused. They talked about Rwanda, they talked about the Nairobi process. Honestly, even here, maybe you will help me understand what all this means. The processes became an end in themselves, and the people leading these processes became more important than the results of the processes. The Nairobi process became a whole process. Then the Rwanda process, it's like you can't say anything that will displease President Lorenzo. Definitely, this does not help deal with such a serious matters as we are faced with today.
So what do you guys think, guys? Who's right, who's wrong? Like, you know,
our president is right.
Yeah.
Ramaphosa are right. But again, with Angie, we don't know at this point which she's qualified or what. And again, as you mentioned, going to DRC, it's not a new thing. It's not like, what's happening?
Yeah.
It's been happening. We know the situation in Congo. DRC, Congo,
yes.
I always feel like I'm speaking
brother.
About two places, but it's one place, you know. But yeah, true. And it's not the first time soldiers die in DRC. It's just that now it happened, and it was 13 of them at one go. Like,
I mean, it's not one go. I think that's also the other thing people are miscommunicating on. It's not in one go. And, like, again, we're not saying that the soldiers' lives don't matter.
Yeah.
But I think when you sign up for SNDF, you understand that you are going to have to go to places where there's war. I mean, remember that time where we went to, I think, was it also Mozambique, where majority of our soldiers were burnt alive? Was it soldiers or South Africans? I can't remember.
They ratified that statement. I remember that case where soldiers were burning alive. No, it was not part of South Africa, but it was in Mozambique. I don't remember what
was
happening.
Yes, and then, but again, there, South Africa was sent to be peacekeepers again as well. And there were some people who died as well. So my point is that it's not the first time that
the challenge is when there's lack of communication from government to say this is happening. I mean, with the 13th, it happened over some time.
Yeah.
But the communication was not there until we said, hey, but now,
what's going on?
And we were told, no, there's 9 of them that died.
Hey,
what were you waiting for? You could have told us, Andrew, you know, we have lost someone, we have to honor his life. I mean, when you are wearing that uniform, you are representing a country.
Yeah.
You are willing to die for a country. Die, it sounds bad. But
But him
so,
that's I think that's the job.
That's their job description.
I know. Even Mandela was like, I'm willing to die for freedom, I'm willing to live and everything. So what I'm saying is that maybe there's lack of communication in terms of how the government informs members of the public about what's going on. Even now, you can tell her there's lack of communication. People don't even know what is happening in DRC. Hence, people feel like these people were sent by Ramaphosa's administration to Congo. But we know, we've been growing up, they've been saying, hey, Joe, there's soldiers that went there because of what is happening there. I'm glad that we are getting to know more about Palestine. But I wish that we can pay same attention
to what's happening to our people.
Especially in southern, SADC.
SADC.
Southern, So, yeah, that's for me. That's my take.
But also, I mean, I'm just on the part of, president with Rwanda. I mean, I don't think Ramaphosa should respond because most people are asking.
I don't think he should respond.
But Vele, he's one who just keeps quiet most of the time. But I really don't think he should respond.
But he responds in a kini.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. We saw it happening with NHI, low expectations. He responds in
a kini. He has his way of responding. But also with the soldiers, I think also, like you were saying, Gwena, it's their job description. And just because now it's in the news, we are worried and we are crying and pointing fingers, but police officers are dying
as well.
And we are not sounding like we are not empathic, but
no. But you can see a lot of people like Hammond was saying. There's not a lot of people don't do information searching. I think genuinely that as a country we are so infused in Twitter and social media that you don't go beyond what you see on Twitter to verify. Like, I think half the time when we do stories, I don't even know if you guys noticed, part of the time when we write stories and they're posted on Twitter, do you guys notice that most of the people don't actually read the article?
They just read the headline and then they comment, and then they start commenting,
and it's like, but you can see that you didn't read
the
story.
And
they start insulting us. And shame, some people even go as far as writing us emails, and you're like, did you read the story? And that's what I'm talking about, and that's what it comes down to. People are so desensitized to reading that. And then you get shocked why we have such a low reading grades. And then because you as adults, you're not even reading the articles themselves. And so to find out that, Vela, this is not a new thing. There has been missions sent to the DRC. There have been soldiers dying.
That's why we have soldiers.
And yes, there have been multiple stories on the inadequacies of the SNDF. The fact that they don't have equipment is not a new thing. Their budget being cut, guys. I think if you listen to the sauna, please listen to the sauna next week. Coming up next week, let's listen to the sauna next week and let's hear what the president says on the defense force. The budget speech last year, again, they cut the department off. So there's a lot going on, guys, with the SNDF. Yes, we have fallen in regards to status, but I think we are still part of the, we can say, maybe like the biggest, not the biggest. Okay, I'm lying.
Allegedly, Zuma collapsed the DNL. I mean, we were one of the top. We still remain in Africa one of the top.
That's what I'm saying. But then we
had an administration. Yeah, people who were thinking for their pockets only. That's why Dinel is collapsing. Transnet is also collapsing. They have collapsed.
So it's an all right issue, guys. But let's try to be positive for the soldiers who are out there, man. And I think they know what they're doing. As much as we see on social media, people seeing these videos and the white flags, I think they are led by generals who know what they're doing. They are driven. They are trained, guys. These people do go through training. It's not like we don't know that they go through. It's not like Asma Podisa.
Let's not degrade them.
Also, our police are doing a semi-great job. But yeah.
I mean, they smoke people out in the still
fontaine. I mean,
can we move on?
let's move on, guys. Speaking of, let's actually bring things back home. Now we were international there for a while, guys. I liked that for us. We must do more international stories. But let's bring it back, guys. So, Nandi did a story, guys. She's been working on this project, I think, for the whole week now. Nandi.
Yeah,
and she realized, she basically discovered that 742 children, right, since 2023 have disappeared in South Africa without a trace, right? Unandi worked on the story with our editor, Ubuntu, and the families of the missing children, like Kelly Sithole, are struggling to cope with the uncertainty and pain. Sithole's mom says her child vanished after going to buy an icicle pop. Ice cream, basically. Let's
not an ice cream, guys.
Ice cream. No, okay, fine.
Ice pop.
Okay, fine. She disappeared after she went to go buy an ice pop. Let's take a listen to that audio.
Oh, I'm not feeling well. Ash. It's so ash. I can't even explain. Ash. The apparel, the high, the data. Ash. I need the toys, the high. I shall move out to a high one of our 5 years. We would like to and both a common take care for Tina. Ah, but today came me. That's a hope like in me, but this week, in that Friday, but into for no Sandy Bacana case, because have a bonny one out of my legs, one with a lamb, have a whole room wall. So Sandy Bacana case for now, and I see the detective Sophia, Ken and actually case here. Say by the boss, have a bonny or the righteous one, my own heart to the hand. Who could have been a guinea? I can't say. I can't say.
Okay, Nandi, please tell us a little bit more about what's happening. What did the police say?
You know, when I was doing the story, like, you know that people are like go missing, yes, and all of that. And when I was actually doing and going through the missing children Twitter handle, I saw that we have a lot of kids that are missing. Mm. And it's actually said how this one, especially Keith, she went to go buy ice 6 houses away.
Mm.
And the lady who sells ice said that, yeah, she did come in, she bought the ice, and she came, she went out. And that was it. No one saw who she was with, who she left with.
Mm.
And inside, and also the mother said, when I asked her to not go buy the ice, I said, no, let me give you something to eat. She said, no, I want to go get the ice. I bought the food, I waited outside the gate. My child did not come back.
Mm.
And it's so sad because she also recalls the point that her shoes, her toys, her clothes, they remind her of O'Keefe. And every time she has to break down whenever she goes through it, because she started sobbing when she mentioned that the patlotsahae, the toys.
Mm.
And also with the police, what they're saying like most of the kids that go missing, it's when obviously parents separate and now the issue of co-parenting and fathers come and take the kids and all of that. Yeah, it's just that.
Wait, let me get this straight. So the police are saying that it's divorced families, members whose kids are majority are disappearing.
Yeah, he made an example of that. Sometimes we are looking far and the issue is just inside the family because the father wants full custody and the mother is angry. So now it's...
Okay, so they're alluding to the fact that in some cases, the father steals the child.
The father steals the child, yes.
Okay.
And also the other part was the fact that I was doing the other... the other ones. And guys, missing kids are like, this case is very serious. And then you have a 14-year-old who goes missing for 3 days. People are
going crazy.
Are looking for you. When are you come back? And then the mother comes and says, no, my child is back, but she's not okay. They take the child to the hospital, forcing her to do a rape kit the whole procedure. The child does not want until she just says, I was at my boyfriend's place.
For 3 days.
For 3 days. A 14-year-old, Uriana, she was visiting her boyfriend and the mother knew that, but she kept quiet.
So wait, let me get this straight. So the mother knew the child was visiting the boyfriend for three days. But yet she still opened a whole missing case.
Because she apparently panicked.
Ah, but hey man.
No, this thing too. Let me start here. So they're saying an average of about 250 go missing per year. Mm. Yeah? which means every day we have someone who goes missing. And 258, they say average. It's not like like a number, the correct number or the approved number. It's just an estimation. So it's quite concerning if one child goes missing per day. I mean, that's bad.
That's bad.
It's bad. It's very bad. And then coming to the 14-year-old, Ejo, I know a similar incident. I was not involved. Don't ask me. But I know an incident. Like, you'll find these people are dating. My mom goes away. Maybe my mom's... Usually it happens with single parents.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry to say that, but then it happens. And in black communities. So you'll find, Uti, my mom is going away. When you live with your mother and the sharp, fine. I tell you that, Ejo, my mom is going away for the weekend because Una boyfriend, they are going away. And then you come to my place Friday and then you refuse to go later on. Because... You know what? Okay. This is life, man. I can live like this. You forgot how bad. And your mom, like, she's concerned. She goes and look for you. And then she does not find you. She opens a case. Police are now looking for you. And then on Sunday, I need to go home. And then when you get home,
you find police.
Your mom is angry. No, you don't find the police. You find your mom is angry. She's shouting. She's there. Temperature, climax there. And then you say, you know what? How many kidnapped me, Robo? So I know incident like that, Robo. Yeah. So these things, Joe, while they are concerning, we also have to look at those who are doing them, car people.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's quite a concerning topic that children go missing. I know in Bloemfontein, last year I wanted to do a similar story. In Bloemfontein, it was almost every day.
Sure.
You will see that everyone enter a child is missing. Even another child, a teen. Sometimes it's a university student who goes missing. And it also, I don't know, Joe, what happens to them?
That's the sad part.
I think everybody wants to know.
Yeah, because my kids is like, at least other kids in my area, we find them. If we find the dead bodies, at least, if it's sad, but at least we know, Gucci, at least I'm burying my, but with mine, I don't know what happened to my child.
And you live on.
And also, you can't move on because you don't know, if I dismiss that and I move on, what if she comes after 4 years? Or what if she comes as soon as I've healed that, or I have convinced myself, Mamang has
died. It's the one conversation that Unandu and I was talking about. Yes, she was one. Like, she was trying to speak to one of the other parents, and the mother was like, "You're opening up a wound, and I don't want to speak about it."
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying, because sometimes it's a thing that you want to console yourself, so you try to calm yourself and forget. But then you have someone calling and asking, and then you're like, "Wait, did you see her? Where did you find her?" And then one of the next thing you are hearing is, "No, I'm from the Sowetan. I'm doing a story on missing kids." Do you know that? That hope deflates, because now you immediately got excited, and then that hope deflates and goes back down, and it's like every call you get, it's going to be that intense. So it's like, is it better for parents to kind of, it's been 7 years, Let me just let it go. Or do you want? Would you hold on? Would you guys hold on?
Yo, Grena.
Ask me that question after my 20 years, because now
it's a difficult situation.
It happens also with family members. It's not even about kids. It happens with our fathers. We know fathers have went missing.
No, Helen is telling the truth. They go by milk and never come back.
Yeah, you see.
Yeah.
But You just have hope. Mm. Yeah. You just have hope over there.
Guys, let's leave the milk chat too. Let's move on. Let's move on, guys. Speaking of fathers and people who live and do things that are so out of, wow. Let's now speak about a man who went to great lengths, né, to hide his crime by changing his name and how it impacted his family. Oh, her man, guys, has been in court the whole week, avoiding e-office. A man who changed his name to Angel to conceal his identity, né? And so when did he confess? Okay.
He confessed on Tuesday.
Yes. Usibusiso confessed to the murder of Usibusiso Sithembe. Two different Usibusisos, like, yeah. Yes. And Sithembe was the ex-boyfriend to his wife, Lerato. Let's take a listen to that confession, guys.
Yesterday, I got a chance to go back to myself. And I prayed to God for wisdom. To do the right thing. And I also prayed for also courage to do the right thing as well. So, you know, it's been very difficult for me to go through this time. In fact, the past 5 years have been very difficult. And to a certain degree, in fact, it's my fault that my life has been so difficult. And I think it's only fair that I take full responsibility for what I've done. And by so saying, taking full responsibility for my actions, for what happened in 2022, January, I am the one that committed the crime. And I am truly, truly sorry to the family for your loss. How did I get to the place how I acted and continue doing that? I'm truly, truly sorry for the pain that I caused to family last day. And secondly, I also want to genuinely say that I'm sorry to my family as well because of the pain that they went through because of me. And the trauma and also the shame that they went through because of me.
Hemin, please explain the case and how it's going, né? And understand it's the sentencing.
Yeah, so quite interesting. I'm gonna take the whole day explaining it. It's very interesting. I don't want to lie. So Lerato, dated Sithembe, né? They dated sharp, they had a child, and you know, relationships end. Yes. People die. Yes. You know that. Yeah. People die, relationships end. So after the relationship died, ne, or ended, sharp, he went on and dated Sibusiso Mahlangu. So Sibusiso Mahlangu was like, "Ejo, I'm not ready to have a kid." So this one became pregnant. 5 months down the line, she tells Mahlangu to say, "You know what? I'm pregnant." Mahlangu to enjoy that. Mahlangu gave Lerato pills for abortion. And we know the complications. I mean, within 2 months.
Yeah, 5 months.
So it was 5 months. And then Lerato, no. Sithembe, my ex, was very supportive. And we started dating again. Okay, sharp. And then this one realized, oh man, I'm being played. And he told Lerato to say, "You need to bring that guy. We need him here. We need to talk." Lerato, okay, sharp, brought the guy. And then the guy was murdered, Sithembe. Yeah. And then after Sithembe died, Mahlangu said, I looked at myself. I saw, man, no, man, we have
similar
physique. So, no, I'm not laughing. It's a serious matter. But yeah, I'm explaining now.
Yeah.
I told you I might take the whole day.
I haven't shortened it.
So after seeing that the physique is similar, he took his wedding ring, placed it on Sithembe, and fled the scene.
So let me get this straight. So he basically said that we look the same. Why don't I just become your ex-husband or
husband? Why don't I die? And then you leave.
And then you say that you're a husband.
Wait, Sithembe told his girlfriend to say, I'm going to meet a potential employer. Can't we have
a
baby? Yeah. After the whole thing, after the ring thing, after the burning of the house,
yeah.
Masangu went to Mpumalanga, Lerato also went to Mpumalanga. So they had they had kids. Like Ulerato came with a baby.
Yeah.
Masangu came with a baby. So it was
a family bonding. Yeah.
So Masangu called a month later to say, Edro, I need to see my kids.
Okay.
As a responsible father. So Lerato tells her, okay, the kids know that you are dead because
yeah.
And then he was like, "Hey, Joe, because of your bufebe, that's why I killed that guy.
Okay,
so you need to see how do you convince these kids to come and see me."
Okay,
and then when he sees the kids, he says, "Hey, Joe, I'm no longer your dad. I'm Angel."
So he has he now convinces the kids to lie.
Yeah, I'm not. The kids are basically because this year. Now they are 11 and 15. The oldest is 50. And then he tells them, well, Edjo, I'm no longer Sibusiso Mahlangu. I'm Angel. So call me Angel. So the reason why he did that is because he wanted the kid, when they speak about their father, they keep on saying Angel. So that no one knows or no one picks it up to say, but Mahlangu is dead. Okay, sharp fade. Fast forward, they were, the guy cheated. And then when he cheated, he took a car of the girlfriend and went to Hammanskraal, where he died.
Okay.
Supposedly. Yeah. And then he was arrested for being in possession of stolen vehicle. And then as the police were asking, what is your name? As Mrs. Somashanka, I went, you have died.
So he's not saying Angel, he's saying Mrs. Somashanka.
And then the police like, you died, Miss. I died. Okay, police arrested him. And then, as they arrested him, they then arrested Lerato because of the confession Mahlangu did.
Yes.
And then, from that April, when they were arrested in 2023, the murder happened in 2022.
Yes.
They've been saying, no, we didn't do anything. Yeah, it did us.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, in November last year, they were found guilty of the murder, fraud, and conspiracy to commit murder. And then on Tuesday, on Monday, we went back to court for sentencing. And then he was like, "Ay, kya cool." And then on Tuesday, he came back and then they asked him, "Is there anything that you want to say in order to mitigate for your sentence?" And he's like, "You know what? Yesterday I prayed to God. I asked for wisdom, I asked for courage, and God."
And I got confessed my sins.
Yeah, and now I'm confessing my sins. Wow. I actually did it, and I apologize to the family of Stebe because I've been lying. I apologize to the court because I wasted your time. But sharp feed, he confessed to the murder. And then on Tuesday, she's like, I played my part. I'm the one who called the guy to our home. I'm the one who claimed the money, and this is how we spend the money. So the lady saying that I gave him 150K.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
I took my share, but she does not want to say how much.
Much. Okay.
Yeah. And then she's saying that they also bought a car in Pretoria. So yeah, that's where we are. Now they are being grilled on, why are you only confessing now? Are you confessing now because you want a lenient sentence?
Or
are you confessing now because you are genuine? But according to the probation officer who compiled a sentencing report, a suggestion of how you should be sentenced, says these people have been saying they are not guilty. They are innocent. And also, interesting thing, which maybe you might engage on, the lady is now making allegations that she was being abused.
So it's always the case.
That's where I want you guys to enter. Do you think that actually the lady might be being coerced or forced to act in this murder case? Or do you feel that they are evil, both of them?
Aye, aye, aye. Herman. Like, on my part, I mean, women always hide behind the fact that we are abused. I was coerced. I was doing this.
When shit is hitting the fence. Sorry for my language.
These two were conspired against. Like, they were together. They were together to do this thing. She can't be saying.
She can't now all of a sudden be saying. I was abused. It's giving. What is among? What type of best? Ow, it's giving Nandipa. Yeah. Hi, man, she must Nandi stop it. She was abused. Yeah. She was no, you went to the mortuary, got a body, and then
even claimed the insurance money. Please, why did you go and claim and take your part?
At the insurance company, you should have said, I'm being forced to help SOS.
And you know what's funny, too? You know, I get how much I sugar hala in our families. You go and wash the body.
Yeah.
And. But she wanted to go alone. She was like, hey, I need lapo. We in the family.
Wow.
My husband.
She's not abused.
She was doing that's the story I've been covering the whole week.
Okay, Herman at this point must just... I was told Herman, you must just write a book.
Insurance.
My name is Angel.
And then at the bottom, you must say, thank you to Rosemary Angel for inspiring these murders. Okay, guys, I'm just joking. Let's move on, guys. So, guys, shame. You know what? We didn't experience these problems that we're experiencing now in terms of financially. Ne? Mm. Financially, we are going through it. And it's January is not even finished, right? Mm. So, INESA, the National Energy Regulator of South Africa, has approved a 12.7 electricity tariff increase for Eskom for the 2025 and 2026 financial year. Mind you, this is not the amount that Eskom wanted. Mm. Eskom wanted E36.15. That's a big difference. I don't know where Eskom even gets the ink on the nerve to ask for 36% increase after what they went to that they made us go through last year. Guy increase. Shame, guys. Herman was complaining last year, hey? I don't know. He would pay 500 rand and he would not even get 100.
It's not 100. So last night, you laugh at this one. So last night I wanted to actually do the math. I bought 500 electricity and he gave me
500.
No, I wanted to tell this to you. I think, who's fooling who? Am I fooling you? So this thing, it's not fun.
It's not fun, you guys. Not fun. How do you spend 500 rand and get less than 100 kilowatts?
It's 80 or 60. Between 60 and 80, you need. It's because of you, people from Soweto.
Leave us alone. I will fight. Leave us alone, Herman. Leave us alone. Herman, please stop it.
Can you just clarify something? Herman lives in Tshwane. And yet he's blaming people from Soweto. You must be blaming people from Soshanguve.
Soshanguve buys electricity.
Leave us out of this.
Soweto, all they know is Mandela.
Yeah, leave us out of this.
But I must say,
when last did you buy electricity?
I don't buy electricity. literally, I don't buy electricity.
Yeah, bro.
And what do you mean you don't buy electricity?
Yeah?
What do you mean you don't buy electricity?
I'm saying that I don't buy electricity.
So, how do you get electricity?
The only time we buy electricity at home is for the businesses at home.
So, you don't put electricity?
Not in the house.
So, you don't buy it? So why the rest of us are paying 200 rand for 60 kilowatts, 50 kilowatts?
It's free electricity.
What's that?
Mandela said people from Soweto to take free electricity, guys. Free everything.
Self-confessed.
Butu was right. You guys are.
Yeah, Butu is always saying, but you guys are Soweto.
Guys. Mushamu was crying, guys. Like,
but actually, there are people who are buying electricity in Soweto. Like, there are.
Yeah, but when you don't buy.
Yeah, we're not one of them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not one of them.
So, guys,
now I'm paying 500 electricity because of you.
And then come moving in Soweto.
Yeah.
So, guys, Mushabe was complaining. Mushabe is the photographer here at the studio, and he's basically complaining how every week he puts in 300 rand, guys.
True. It's bad.
Every week,
you know, I live tall for one. But then when I hit the ground and I remember the geezer is on,
you no rush back what, up, ne?
I'm Escape. Going up because this thing is expensive, show. And you can't stay with the lights off. You were born when we were at school and we were doing needs and wants, and we said car and electricity wants. We were lying. That's a lie. electricity and a car. Those are neat. We need to shame.
And like for the fact that Eskom is just doing this, and like they're just doing it yearly.
Nandi might not know because they experience load reduction and they still electricity. But at least we have been not having load shedding for at least 3 months.
No, Herman, here's the thing. Shapu, I'm not clapping for
him. Don't speak for Monandi. Monandi, they steal electricity. They must suffer.
We don't steal electricity. We don't care. Now we take what we
they
get.
They must suffer.
Herman, we take what we get.
My thing was that, guys, the reason why we land are getting below the direction you have Shapu Landi Valley, you guys don't pay electricity. Hey? And you guys, on top of that, even go as far as even doing illegal connections. So, thank you
we
so
don't
much.
Illegal connections.
So, first of
it's
all,
it's a way to not you.
So, first it's of a way. ESCOM, right? The reason why now it keeps increasing the tariffs is because it's not being able to make as much money as it is. There are a lot of people who are now
because
going,
of Soweto.
It's not
it.
Because of Soweto only. Soweto. There's other problems on top of that. There's people who are doing solar panels. People who have solar panels and generators, they're like, you know what? We want to get off the grid. We don't do this nonsense anymore. So now the problem now comes that, okay, now Eskom's like, okay, we're not having customers. It's literally like DSTV losing customers to Netflix and Showmax. Because the other now energy resources
why
out
are they
there.
Losing customers?
DSTV must serve. They must suffer. They always one thing every year.
Yeah, they must suffer too.
They must suffer. So you say
why are they get back to the topic?
They must suffer.
Thank you so much. But point is, on top of that, municipalities are not also paying Eskom. So Eskom needs to obviously get the money in what way? By abusing the ones who pay.
Now
because of Banandi and Soweto and their municipality not paying. Now I have to buy 500 electricity and get 60 units. Yeah, man, it's painful.
Yeah.
And then someone must take the what are we taking, Ghana? Yeah.
Take the burden.
Yeah, someone must take the burden.
While you are getting yes, when I'm not
the reduction will hit until Jesus comes.
Let's move on, guys. Eskom, Nandi, please convince your community members to pay the electricity. Thank you so much. Hey, guys, so let's move on, guys. Another one that's like, I think that we can just end on nicely with is the latest topic in regards to the celebrity arrest, guys. So all traditional healer, Makgotso Leanne Mofokeng, sorry, known as Ugogo Maweni, was granted 5,000 rand bail at the Pretoria Magistrate Court, right? And it's basically linked to a case all the way back in 2019 involving her ex-boyfriend's relative.
The complainant in the matter is the cousin of my third son's father, Siyabonga Zulu. Point 7, on the day of the alleged incident, I attended a public appearance in Soweto. The complainant and her friends or family were there too. About 5 people approached me in the street and started shouting and screaming at me. The verbal abuse turned violent and I had to defend myself against these attackers. Siege Zulu was one of them. My phone was stolen during the altercation. Members of the public intervened and pulled the attackers off me. I then left for my home. Point 8. At the time, I filed the criminal charges against the complainant and her accomplices at the SAPS. After having filed charges, I never heard from the SAPS again, apart from phoning the police station on a few occasions, inquiring into my complaint. I did not pursue the matter. The incident transpired more than 5 years ago.
So there's just a lot of speculation and people are just on some, no, Maweni must just choose a career and stick to it. And people are on some, no, man, as a traditional, like, didn't you see this arrest coming? Nandi, do you have a comment?
I was actually asking, so you couldn't prevent it?
Apparently not. Apparently
Mala,
not.
She must know, Gogo Marin, that no one is above the law. Although Salala with other criminals.
Herman, do you have 2 cents?
What Gogo? I hear the Sangom. Okay, she's not a Sangom. Let's not use that. Until then,
she's a traditional healer.
Yeah, traditional.
Yes.
And we grew up in a Christian home, so...
Oh, guys, so guys, so thank you so much, guys, for listening in on our first podcast of the year. That's all for this week's news wrap. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts, review and subscribe for free on Ayono FM, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts. You can also find us or follow us on all social media platforms at Sowetan Live. This podcast is a Times Live production, and our producer is always the lovely Demi Buzo. Don't forget, you can also have a listen to our other podcasts, Sunday Times Politics Weekly, Taking the Rams by the Horns, Business Day Spotlight, Gogo Have I Been Scammed, and 30 Years of Democracy. Thank you for tuning in, guys. Join us again next week for more updates on the bigger stories from me, Gwena, and my colleagues, Nandi and Herman. It's goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.